like to turn it over to Senator Bonoff, if you want to explain the bill for us.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill is in response really to strong community perception that we needed to have some sort of verification process with regard to our voting. And so last year, there was the voter ID going forward, and I, along with many other members, were working alongside the Secretary of State to suggest that, in fact, the more appropriate thing for us to do in response to public perception was to move forward with an e-poll books solution, and that really that was not only in the best interest of voter verification, but also in the best interest of our election process. So e-poll books would become a significant aid to election judges and would help ease the process on election day, making our process more seamless and efficient. So as it is our hope as we continue to build upon this legislation in subsequent years that the entire Election Day process, from voters to election judges to city and county clerks, would become streamlined and data-driven, yielding higher efficiencies by detecting errors earlier and giving city clerks and the public real-time Election Day information. And I'm sitting here with David Maida from the city of Minnetonka because Minnetonka actually tested e-poll books a couple years back and has been in strong support of it and has been lending his assistance to this entire process. We've had a working group meeting for the last 6 weeks to hammer out what a pilot project might look like. So this bill has two main parts. They are as follows. The bill creates a small pilot project for an off-year election in 2013. It allows for precincts in selected cities to participate in this project. We expect Minnetonka would go as close to citywide as possible, but in the others would predict that it will be more precinct-oriented. And those who have been selected are Dilworth, Moorhead, St. Anthony, St. Paul, and then we're actually suggesting with the amendment today that we'll delete St. Peter. We create a system of technological requirements that are made available to election judges. The key component will be scanning of a state's driver's license, which would contain important voter information, which can then be populated and signed with an electronic signature. This would then be followed up by a substantial review of the process in these precincts on election day. There would be electronic same-day registration in this pilot, and that particular part of this proposal would be programmed by the Secretary of State so that it would be the actually working same-day registration part of this project. The e-poll book, where we have all the data populated, will not be programmed at this point because the Secretary of State has said it would take too long. I will say for the record that we would be delighted if they proved themselves wrong and were ready for this pilot, but this provision instead uses in some ways a jury-rigged process, which is what Minnetonka used before. And what that would be is that they would, the precincts that were participating, the county administrators or whoever was responsible for these elections would give the Secretary of State that information. The Secretary of State would give them back a file with all of the registered voters. They would then work with a vendor, and in this case I actually have somebody from DataCard who's here to answer any questions about that process, but that vendor would then populate that data and format the e-poll books so that the precincts that were participating could experiment and use that on election day. These are off-year elections, so we are, you know, doing that on purpose so they're much smaller. In addition, we are suggesting that they have the paper poll books next to them in case there's any problem that we won't, in fact, hurt our actual election procedure. So we're adding an element of complexity in that we're asking these folks to do both the e-poll book and the paper poll book, but we think for the purposes of the pilot, they can still learn and test and get the kinks out and have this fail-safe mechanism by having the paper poll books beside that. We had always talked about including the driver's license photos as part of this so that that, in fact, is the true verifier. We aren't ready to do that. And so this legislation creates a task force and puts forward all the interested stakeholders to work that out and figure out just what it would take to include our driver's license photos in this process. And that is also within the bill as the task force to work that out. So with that, I would stand for questions and allow my testifiers to just speak to their expertise. And Dan Hudson is really more to answer questions if there are questions.
Okay, thank you, Senator Bonhoff. And we do have a quorum now, so I will call the committee officially to order. And we have minutes to adopt as well from the last, let's see, the March 11th minutes, Monday, March 11th. Would someone like to move those minutes? Senator Sieben moves the minutes for March 11th. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes are adopted. And I understand, and you'd mentioned, Senator Bonhoff, that you have an amendment as well. We could add that at this point. That
would be great. It's an author's amendment. It's actually a delete everything, and it's the A1.
Okay, and I will move the A1 amendment, and the author's amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails, and the delete all amendment
and Mr. Chair,
is adopted. Yes, Senator Bonhoff.
I have an oral amendment to the Senate file as amended.
Okay.
And that would be, counsel, you want to state that? I defer to counsel.
Okay, counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The oral amendment on page 1, line 11, after the second comma, insert the word and. And also on line 11, strike comma and St. Peter.
Okay. So, everybody understand the amendment removing St. Peter from this pilot project. And seeing no discussion or questions, I will move the oral amendment. Yes, Senator Limmer.
A chairman cannot move a motion in committee. You have to have someone else make the motion.
Oh, okay. I guess it differs from the House, I guess. So I've been House trained. But somebody would somebody like to move that amendment?
Sure, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A1 amendment, too, if you want to redo that motion.
Okay. I guess we have to redo that. Sure. So. Senator Sieben will move the A1 amendment. Now, I guess there has to be well, it didn't count because it's not official if I moved it, so we can just go back and do it. Okay. Senator Sieben moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And now to the oral amendment. Senator Sieben moves the oral amendment, removing St. Peter from the pilot project. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. So, Mr. Maeda, would you like to testify to the bill as amended?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is David Maeda. I'm the Minnetonka City Clerk. And as Senator Bonhoff mentioned, our city has used poll books. We started a pilot project. It was a very limited pilot project in 2009 where we chose two of our precincts and we chose two different vendors, DataCard being one of them, and then there was another vendor involved. And we implemented the poll books in these two precincts. It was a full poll book. As Senator Bonhoff mentioned, there are basically two parts of a poll book in Minnesota. Yeah, the pre-registered roster piece, and then you have election day registration, which is a separate module in most of the vendors' products. We did the full implementation in these two precincts in 2009, and then moving forward, we have used them since in every election on a very limited basis. We've used the election day registration piece to help our election judges register people that show up on election day that need to be registered. And it's gotten to the point where in 2000, this past fall's election, I was so busy doing absentee voting, I was not going to send out the poll books to our polling places figuring I didn't have the time to test them and set them up properly, and I had such an outcry from our election judges that have gotten so used to this technology and have really seen the benefits to using it that I thought I was going to have a mutiny on my hands, so I quickly got the poll books in 18 of our precincts, and we use them again this fall. One of the great things about this bill is it really takes the next step forward. It creates an integration with the statewide voter registration system, and that's the only reason that Minnetonka hasn't gone further ahead with this, because we don't have the next piece that's necessary where our poll books actually talk with the voter registration system. This creates that link, particularly in the election day registration piece. I will mention I have talked to each of the other cities that are in the bill, and they are all very excited. The city of Moorhead actually contacted me last summer prior to the state general election, and they wanted to do a pilot project with us. And one of the reasons they wanted to do it is because their neighbors to the west, Fargo, already have electronic poll books, and they saw the benefits. In Clay County, which is where Moorhead is located, also called me, and they were very interested in doing it. And when I talked to them on the phone in the past weeks, they, again, are extremely excited about being part of this pilot project. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks.
Right. Well, and thank you, Mr. Maida, and thank you for including Moorhead. And that is in my district. And, and Senator Bonhoff has included Moorhead in another pilot project as well, so I appreciate that. Are there any questions at all for Mr. Maida? On the bill itself. And questions on the bill itself, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bonhoff, just for the rest of the members, you know, I initially was involved with the working group with the with this bill with Senator Bonhoff, and I've emailed Senator Bonhoff on this issue that I rather lost interest in the bill when the discussion turned from including photographs in the pilot project to where now we are at, we no longer have the photographs as part of the pilot project. And initially we had DMV come in and testify, told us at our informal meeting that it would be difficult but doable to include photographs in this pilot project. And when we removed that element, it just seemed to me that because we're dealing with a pilot project, that is the place where we should be doing some exploratory work, even if it's difficult. Because if it's difficult in a pilot project, certainly it's going to be difficult on a statewide basis. So I don't see the photographs being incorporated in this. And last year, when the Secretary of State's office came around and were showing us the electronic poll books, the photographs were involved, you know, at that point. So I'm really, all I'm saying, members, is I'm really pretty disappointed that the issue of photographs are not being included in the bill, because I think it would be a very good place to explore the use of them. I don't think photographs are going to be definitive, but I think they would ultimately help voting judges in the voting place. And I'm not sure about this, but I also don't see anything in terms of the task force specifically addressing the issue of voter fraud. Now, there are some folks that think that voter fraud doesn't exist in Minnesota. I happen to be an individual that thinks voter fraud does exist, always has existed, since we began having elections in the United States. Matter of fact, I think voter fraud is a matter of historical fact in the United States, and I don't think Minnesota is any different. So perhaps I missed it, but I'm just not seeing anything in here to address issues like voter fraud, same-day registration, as it applies to, say, vouching and those kinds of things. And those are the things that I was really interested in terms of this pilot project. So with those types of things not being addressed to my satisfaction, I will tell Senator Bonhoff that I will be voting against the bill at this point, but I would encourage members to continue working on this. My questions, Senator Bonhoff, if you wouldn't mind for me, is I've got about three questions. First of all, and Mr. Maeda might be able to go through this for you and help you with it, but the city of Minnetonka did a pilot project without legislative intervention. This pilot project involves legislative intervention. If the city of Minnetonka did it without the legislature, why do we need this, the legislature involved at this point? What are we accomplishing by involving the legislature?
And Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, and I will answer that question, but I do want to address your earlier remarks first. So, Senator Newman, I wish that you hadn't taken yourself away from the working group because I really valued your voice on the working group, and I shared your sentiments and thought that we ought to move faster with regard to the photographs. And I get particularly impatient when I'm told that there's no way it can be ready. But, in fact, I was outvoted on that. And if you recall, even Senator Kiffmeyer, who in that particular discussion felt as though the concerns around the photo ID were valid. And the concerns were really that right now there is an effort underway to verify the identification of many of our citizens within the Health and Human Services database. And in addition, there's been some data breaches with regard to our own data security. And so because there's so much going on with regard to data security, it was felt as though we weren't ready to put citizens' data in that vehicle at this time. And so because of that, we did create the task force to deal with solving all those challenges with regard to data privacy and the technical parts of the photos. Senator Newman, after you left, I was even given pushback that we could be ready to even use the files with the poll books at this time. And Senator Kiffmeyer and I differed from the House, who went along with the decision that we wouldn't be ready. So again, if you had been a participant in this discussion, I think you would have, your voice would have helped move that discussion in a direction where we all wanted it to go. With regard to your question about voter challenge, there is, obviously the reason why we're using the photos is because of we want to make sure that there is voter verification. So I think the fraud issue is inherent in the bill. And then in specifically, we do point in language on line 1.28 where we talk about how to resolve a type of challenge and that if we needed at some point to be clear that fraud was included in that, we could certainly address that. With regard to legislation being required, in order to direct the Secretary of State to move towards implementing this, we do need legislation. You know, that's a big undertaking for the Secretary of State to do the kind of programming to allow real-time downloading of the data, to have the interface going back and forward, and they will need some funds appropriated with that. So they need it in terms of direction from the legislature that we do want to move in that direction. They need it in terms of direction with regard to the task force on the driver's license and with regard to the appropriation. And perhaps Mr. Maeda can say a little more about that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, I think you mentioned vouching, and not that we would be able to do that this fall, but one of the benefits of what I've seen with the full poll book project product is that it really does help in the vouching process because currently the election judges, to be a voucher, you have to be another registered voter in the precinct. And so in practice, our election judges are supposed to, anytime someone vouches for another voter, verify that the voucher is a registered voter in the precinct. This makes that seamless. When we election day register someone, it's tied into the pre-registered roster, and it verifies that the person is registered to vote in that precinct. So it verifies that the voucher is indeed qualified to vouch for somebody. So I think that's a very strong part of one example of why this helps in our administration of elections so much. And it also, as you know, under current law, a person is not allowed to vouch for more than 15 voters, and this would actually keep track of how many people a person vouches for. So it does help in the vouching process. I think to your question on why this legislation is needed, Senator Bonhoeff mentioned the task force, and I think that is a very big piece of this. One of the reasons I'm a little uncomfortable with the role Minnetonka has played in this is our city council keeps saying they want our staff to be leading edge, but they don't want us to be bleeding edge. That's a comment we hear all the time from our council. And I kind of feel like we've been a little bit bleeding edge on this because it surprises me that we started using this in 2009. I see such a huge benefit of the technology, and yet no one has followed us into it. So I think the task force broadens the discussion of all the players involved and gets people outside of Minnetonka just talking about how we can implement this statewide.
Okay. Senator Newman.
Thank to both of you. Thank you for that explanation. I really do appreciate it. I did see Senator Bonhoeff in one of the drafts of the bill a provision that would provide for child care expenses for members who are on the task force. Is that provision in your bill? I've looked for it. I can't find it.
Senator Bonhoeff.
Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, I thought that was a really weird provision, too. I think it still is in it because it's actually the way the law is written currently. And so I wanted to it still is there, correct?
Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonhoeff. If you look at line, where did that go? Starting on 4.7, there's subdivision 5 compensation. And this looks a little bit different than the earlier versions in that it's shorter. You see that legislative members get their per diem under 3.099, but then all of the other members are compensated, and there's a cross-reference to section 15059, and that's sort of the standard compensation provision for task force members. And in that statute and that subdivision, there is reimbursement for child care, and that's something that's in the statute now that's followed on a lot of the different task forces. So by reference, it is included in the bill.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
And Senator Newman.
For either Senator Bonhoeff or Senate Counsel, I guess that provision does surprise me that we are going to pay for child care for members who are on the task force. You know, do we also pay for loss of wages or other out-of-pocket expenses incurred by task force members besides child care? It just strikes me as being an odd provision.
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman,
Bonhoeff.
So now, in fact, it isn't spelled out, but it is cross-referenced because that is what the statute says. So I had the same reaction, and I sat there in committee and like, why are we paying for child care? And then learned that it was common. That is what one of the expenses that we do reimburse. And so if you wanted to go back into our statutes, I wasn't willing to for the purpose of this, say, oh, well, now this time I'm going to make an exception. No child care is paid for, because I wasn't willing to be affirmative in that way. If that's something that you want to pursue with regard to that statute, I recommend that rather than going into that statute and amending it within this bill.
And Senator Newman.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Bonhoeff, and I appreciate the explanation. I truly was unaware of this particular statute or the provision, and I will take the suggestion of Senator Bonhoeff and at least read the statute. One final question, if I may, Senator Bonhoeff. There is a blank appropriation in this bill, so sort of a two-point question. How much money are you thinking of? And would I be correct in assuming that this bill leaves this committee, it's at some point going to hit the Finance Committee?
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman,
Bonhoeff.
It will. Now that we've got the delete all, I'm requesting a fiscal note. It will definitely go to the Finance Committee. And I don't know how much because
fiscal
I haven't gotten it yet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Bonhoeff.
Any other questions?
And Mr. Chair, Senator Kiffmeyer has just gotten here, and so I do want to acknowledge Senator Kiffmeyer for her partnership and work on this bill. And Senator Kiffmeyer, Senator Newman mentioned how dissatisfied he was that we couldn't insist that the photographs be part of this bill instead of just the task force. He would have preferred that we were ready to do them this spring, too. And so I mentioned how you and I both shared his impatience, and that's why we've been insistent that at least we do the e-poll books to the fullest extent possible.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
And Senator Bonoff. I definitely would hope the establishment of the pilot project is exactly that. Matter of fact, there's specific language that allows some flexibility. And the purpose of that is, for many reasons, it's a pilot project. And so we do have the opportunity here to do a variety of things. There are specific things enumerated here we want to be sure. But then there was that kind of that nice little other category that I think that is very, very important, because between now and as we do the pilot project, some things may be resolved that were an issue before, and certainly means that we could do that. I think another thing, I don't know if you've discussed this already, the uploading and the downloading of data from the Secretary of State office directly. That's another one that's a real key component of this and one of the key purposes of the pilot project. So I would hope that as folks go together to implement this, that they would take the discretion that is given to them in this legislation to make the pilot project as full and robust as possibly can be done.
Good. Thank you. I echo those comments, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Hudson from DataCard is here if there's any questions for him.
Sure. And Mr. Hudson, do you have any comments you'd like to make or just?
No, actually, I'm excited the state's actually moving forward. I mean, our company's gotten into this, and that was actually part of the reason we got into it. It's you know, passionate for us, and we do believe that the solution really can help out with not only accuracy of the check-in, but as well as, you know, eliminating voter fraud and other things throughout the system.
Okay. Thanks. And Mr. Hudson, if you could just state your name for the tape.
Oh, sure. Daniel Hudson.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, would someone like to move? Senator Hayden moves that Senate File 1232, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Rules and Administration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion prevails, and the bill is passed. Thank you, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have Senate File 1346.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Bonner.
Why does it go to Rules?
This is a subcommittee.
Oh.
We are the subcommittee. Yeah,
thank
the Rules
you.
Committee.
So. Okay, very good.
Subcommittee of Rules.
Okay, and we are, Senator Sieben is in another committee presenting a bill there. So at this point, I guess we just have to recess or hold on.
Are there any other? She's the only author. You can do the test of fire without moving the bill.
No, there's no test.
Oh, I thought she said there was some.
Okay. Who else is on the bill? Is there anybody else?
No one.
Who else is on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
And Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, are we doing
1346
today, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know if I had missed it.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Rest.
To, have a bill. Senator Sieben's bill presented while we're waiting for her, and sit in the witness chair.
Could you say that again, Senator Rest?
I'd be willing to bring the bill forward on her behalf and sit in the witness chair.
Okay. That would be great. Thank you, Senator Rest.
Okay, Mr. Sure.
Boy, that's a big buzz.
Thank you,
Lexi. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Reston, to Senate File 1346.
Mr. Chairman, we have Senate File 1346. I'm here on behalf of Senator Sieben, and would ask Senate Counsel to go through the bill for us. And is there an amendment?
I do not believe there are any amendments.
Well, then, Senate File 1346 on behalf of Senator Sieben.
Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. We're starting with 1346, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll go briefly through section by section of this bill. Section 1 is the redistricting fix that we saw earlier in a bill for the 39th District, and that is in Stillwater. And all of the provisions, I should say first, all of the provisions in this bill are things that we have heard in other versions of the bill, and they are the same provisions that went out in the omnibus bill. They're just packaged in a different manner. So nothing in here is new before the committee. Going back to the bill, Section 2 of the bill removes references to colored ballots, which we'll see in several places, and that's basically just removing some of the obsolete language because we no longer use different colored ballots. Section 3 is another obsolete provision that requires certain instructions to be provided on cassette tapes, and that doesn't really work anymore, so they're just requiring it to be provided in an audio format. Section 4 deals with absentee ballots received on Election Day after the deadlines as you see them here, and this is a restatement of how things are already done. So this isn't really new language, it's just being recodified in a different location. Section 5 provides that a voter may vote by absentee ballot 46 days before the election, which is how it is now. The change really comes when you're talking about town elections, and there it's 30 days before the town election. So it's either 46 days or 30 days, so it's sort of simplifying the scheme that's in current law. Section 6 requires a minimum of 4 election judges for each precinct at the state general election, and in all other elections, it's a minimum of 3 election judges. Section 7 removes a reference to colored ballots. So does Section 8. Section 9 prohibits special elections within 56 days of the state general election. Section 10 removes a reference to colored ballots again. Section 11 requires the Secretary of State to monitor and evaluate election procedures for at least one precinct instead of the 4 precincts that's required by current law. Section 12 is another reference to colored ballots. Section 13 amends the provisions relating to city and town and county regulation of non-commercial signs, basically campaign signs. The content is the same. And as one of the testifiers explained in one of the earlier hearings, it's being rewritten here in hopes that it's easier to understand without actually changing any authorities for the cities. 14 prohibits hospital districts from holding special elections within 56 days of a regular or primary election. And then Section 15 provides that Section 1, which is the redistricting section, is effective starting in the primary of 2014 and thereafter.
Okay. Thank you, Counsel. And are there any questions on the bill? Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, in Section 5, what would be a there was an issue about when a ballot question. Yes, right there. I'm trying to understand the reasoning behind the date change or the days change with regard to when elections can be held in municipal in cities.
Council?
How did we get to that? Just curious.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, are you talking about the 56-day prohibition? On line 4.21, and then again later in the bill, it prohibits special elections within 56 days, or are you looking at a different provision?
I'm looking at Section 5.
Oh, okay.
Just trying to understand that. I'm looking at the summary, but I can look back at the bill. And I don't remember the discussion of that in terms of absentee balloting.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, I believe that this is all the same as it currently is. It's just sort of clarifying. Before, it listed out 46 days before a regular state, federal, county election or a special election or other elections held in conjunction with those, you vote 46 days. And in all other elections, it's 30 days. But really, the only other election is township. So we're just sort of clarifying it here.
Mr. Chairman and Council, it's just rewording what is current law to be more clarifying. It's not a substantive change at all.
That's right, Mr. Okay. Chair and Senator Rest, that's curious. Right. I think it's just a simplification of the language.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dangle. And any other questions? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for Senate counsel. The Senate File 1346, is it correct that what we are looking at is just a reshuffling of some prior bills that we have heard here, but the language that is in 1346 is identical to previous bills?
And Council.
Mr. Chair and Senator Newman, I did review the provisions in here and the provisions that were amended as they went out of committee, and they did look the same. I didn't go over every single comma and period, but I do believe that they are the same as the committee had passed out in other bills.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The concern that I have in this particular bill is Section 4, Line 218. One of the things that I've seen increasingly, a matter of fact, we had a news story just recently about a little lady who came to vote on Election Day. On the roster, AB was marked, and yet the election judge gave her a ballot and allowed her to vote, thus triggering a violation of appearing to vote twice. In this case, I believe there is failure of intent. This lady obviously did not intend to vote twice. She wanted to be sure she just plain voted. And the failure of this system to have kept her when it was clearly designed to do so by the marking of AB on it. So here now we have, again, Section 4. And just remember, thinking of these voters coming in on Election Day and triggering these situations, and you have new language, as if the current one has enough issues of its own, but ballots received on Election Day either after 3 p.m. if delivered by an agent or to after the last mail delivery if delivered by another method shall be marked as received late. Now, first of all, any ballot that comes in before 8 p.m. on Election Day is not late. Our polls are open till 8 o'clock. And to disenfranchise a voter here by saying, you've got to know that 3 p.m. here or after the last mail delivery, whatever that could be, with 87 counties and umpteen cities, 800-some townships, 800 cities, 1,400 townships or so on, multiple precincts, but somehow the voter is supposed to know when that deadline is, when this is so vague. You're just setting it up for voters.
Mr. Chairman?
It just seems like a gross issue here. And then not only that, on top of that, complying with it is one thing because it's so vague. Then it says, shall be marked as late, even though it came in before 8 p.m. on Election Day.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Rest.
Senator Kiffmeyer, is that the only section that you have an objection to in the bill?
Well, this is the one, Senator Rest, that I saw. The rest of this appears to be more, I'm just checking in to be sure, as counsel said, that it is the same. And the other ones look like, and I would say probably the rest of them are audio cassette to something else. You know, those are technical in nature that I would truly say. I would say Section 4 is probably the one.
I think you should move to remove Section 4.
Section 5 also touches on locations for absentee voting in person. But that's a town election during the 30 days. I think that's all right. Minimum number, election judges. Federal white ballot, general election ballot. Non-commercial signs. Again, I'm just reviewed it once, just freshening up on it. And the question I have on line 6.4, special election may not be conducted either during the 56 days, so we're changing from 30 to 56 days. That would be okay. And so I would say yes in general. Oh, Senator Rest.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Kiffmeyer makes a valid point with regard to the issues she raised, and
no.
I think it,
no.
it that section needs further work, and perhaps Senator Sieben can do that, but I would move to delete Section 4.
Okay. Senator Rest moves to delete Section 4, and Senator Sieben, do you have any comments you want to make?
Mr. Chair, first I apologize that I had another bill up in another committee, but
okay,
thank you to Senator Rest,
to
but
yeah.
I will be fine with that
okay.
amendment right now.
Okay. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves to amend Senate File 1346 to remove Section 4. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment is passed. And Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes, another section that I was looking for, it, but I just couldn't find because it was split, bottom of one page, top of the other, and that is Section 11. I think it's really important. Currently, right now, the whole process of monitoring and evaluating election procedures and precincts subject to the audit, that it is currently four precincts, and that being reduced to one is a great concern for me. One of the reasons why we can have a sense of confidence is that we have that monitoring process going on afterwards, and to reduce it from four to one, to me, is not a sound decision to make, and so I would move that we would consider move or mention that I would consider deleting Section 11, if that would be acceptable.
Okay, and Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, I would be okay with that as well.
Okay, and any discussion at all to the amendment?
I have a question.
Oh, yes, Senator Rest.
Senator Sieben, do you recall the Secretary of State's testimony with regard to why they were going recommending one precinct rather than four? Was that a big issue someplace that you recall?
Senator Sieben?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, I don't believe there anyone from the office is here right now.
Well, then delete
and
it.
Yeah, so I'm happy to delete it.
Okay, and Senator Kiffmeyer, would you like to make the motion?
She did already.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah, so Senator Kiffmeyer moves to delete Section 11. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Any other discussion to the bill as amended? Okay, seeing no other discussion, Senator Sieben, would you like to move Senate File 1346?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate File 1346 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Rules Committee.
Okay, Senator Sieben moves that Senate File 1346 be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Rules and Administration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No. Motion prevails, and the bill is passed. Next, we have Senate File 1374. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 1374. First, I'd have the A4 amendment that I would like to move at this time.
Okay, Senator Sieben moves the A4 amendment to Senate File 1374. Any discussion? Okay, with that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. And Senator Sieben to the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, all of these provisions are things that we have previously discussed in this committee. Section 1, Subdivision 1, references the redistricting in Senate District 39. Section 2 is a reference to a colored ballot that's obsolete. Section 3 specifies that voter registration instructions should be available in an audio format instead of on a cassette tape. If you recall, that was agreed to by members of the disability community who wanted that change. Section 4 provides that a voter may vote by absentee ballot during the 46 days before an election. And again, this is similar to the last bill, and I'd be amenable to, I think that was the same as what we just removed. If there's discussion about that or concern. Section 5, again, is a reference that's now obsolete. Section 6 talks about the multiple affidavits of candidacy. Section 7 is another colored ballot. Section 7 to 18 are colored ballots, and 19 up through 22, actually, sections 22. Section 23 requires the office hours for the clerk's office to be open. The hours that they'd be open. Sections 24 and 25 makes ballot requirements the same for all cities and towns. And again, there's a reference to colored ballots that would be removed. Section 26 provides that when more than one vacancy exists in a school district office, voters must be instructed to vote for up to the number of vacancies to be filled. Again, sections 27 and 28 is about colored ballots. Section 29 requires the Secretary of State to evaluate election procedures for at least one congressional district, which, again, I'd be happy to remove that if the committee desires. Section 30 is colored ballots. 31 is the discussion or the language surrounding the not campaign signs. Section 32 relates to the days before an election regarding a hospital district. And Section 33 repeals more obsolete provisions. So with that, I'm happy to stand for questions or consider motions, too.
Any questions? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Section 6, which is on page 3, line 20, maybe General Counsel can address this issue. We do have an opportunity, and every now and then we have a unique set of circumstances. So you might file for an office, file an affidavit of candidacy. Something happens, and it is prior to withdrawal period. And I've noticed this. There was an incident that happened in our area, and this does not allow for there is an opportunity to do a withdrawal of your affidavit of candidacy. And so I think the intention here, of course, you can't run for two offices at the same time. We all agree to that. But when you're adding this language and is specifically saying that they may not subsequently file another affidavit of candidacy, there is a possibility that they could do a withdrawal. I've actually seen a case where they had a filing period, a regular filing period, and then there was an overlap of the withdrawal period and a special election filing. And so those situations meant that somebody might switch from running for one office to run for a different office, but, of course, would first file a withdrawal. So I know a specific instance where this happened, so maybe General Counsel can address.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Sieben, why couldn't we say in this section that a candidate who files an affidavit for an office to be elected at the general election must withdraw that affidavit before subsequently filing another affidavit of candidacy for any other office to be elected on the date of that general election.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, would that still occur within the filing deadline, though?
Senator Rest.
That's what I'm not clear.
That's what I mentioned, General Counsel. I don't know if they have any.
Well, I think the intent is clear. I think that otherwise how it's written here is a little bit confusing about being able. I mean, I think you I think you should withdraw before you file another one, I guess. Okay. How does that? It's not that you should be forbidden to do that if the circumstances dictate, but I agree with Senator Kiffmeyer. I think we have to have some qualifying language in there, unless it's already in some other statute. Maybe council can help us.
Yeah, council is working on looking at some language here. So,
yeah, maybe it's already something else.
Okay, why don't we move on to any other questions, and then we can come back to this. So, and Senator Newman.
Chairman. Senator Sieben, on that same section, the prohibition of multiple candidacy, your amendment, the A4 amendment, addresses that what election is not being covered in this prohibition.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair.
Looking
I don't believe up. That that's what the amendment did, actually, but Council, can you help me with that, too?
Mr. Chair, can you repeat the question one more time, please?
Sure. Senator Newman, could you repeat the question?
I'll try and rephrase it a little better. The A4 amendment that we have adopted appears that is somehow affecting the prohibition. Multiple candidacy. How is the A4 amendment affecting that? What's the purpose of the A4 amendment?
Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for repeating, Senator Newman. The cross-reference in the A4 amendment to 645.241 actually has to do with the penalties for violating this. So basically, the amendment is saying it's not a misdemeanor or felony to violate these provisions. So it doesn't talk about withdrawing your candidacy, your affidavit of candidacy, or anything with that. It just says it's not a crime.
It's a default.
Well, it's a default. Okay. By default, it's a misdemeanor.
Sure. And Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for that explanation. I understand.
Yeah.
So the other question I had, Senator Sieben, on page 9, lines 24, 25, 26. About how a vacancy in an office at large, and voters are being instructed to vote for a number of vacancies. That almost looks like instant runoff voting to me. And my question is, how is that situation handled now?
Senator Newman. I believe that what is happening now is that there is no instruction, so it's vague to the voter as to whether or not they should, how many offices they should be voting for. I don't know if there's no one from the school district is here now, but with regards to that, I think that just because I'm not entirely sure about that, now that we're talking about instant runoff voting, I would move that we delete section 26 from the bill.
Okay. Senator Sieben moves to delete section 26. And Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I think that can be cured without deleting it. I think it's we get stuck with the word must, but I think it's just trying to give information to a voter. So if it instead of deleting it, if it would say something like, when more than one vacancy exists in an office elected at large, voters must be instructed that they may vote for up to a number of vacancies to be filled, rather than it sounds like you're telling the voters they have to vote for it. And I think the idea is just to give them the information that they may vote for that. So the onus is on the election official or the ballot language that you may vote for up to however many. I don't think it has any. I don't think it needs to be confused with ranked choice voting. I don't think that's what's on what that means at all. I think it's just giving instruction to the voters that they can vote for up to the number of vacancies that are on there, but not. It sounds like they must. We're telling them they must vote, but actually, the responsibility is on the part of the ballot language or the election official. I don't know, Senator Newman. What did you think? What would you think of that,
Senator Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rest. You know, I think that you are getting closer to the heart of the question because it does, as drafted, seem to indicate that a voter has to vote for a certain
right.
number. But the other question then occurs to me is in what manner are they to be instructed?
Right. Is this language
or on the ballot?
There.
Or
yeah.
right. It just seems very clumsy and ambiguous language yeah. to be included. And so I would agree with Senator Sieben to strike it.
Okay. Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, I would support Senator Newman in that motion to delete Section 26 if
okay.
he's moving to amend it.
Any further discussion on?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sieben already did.
Okay.
Yep.
I already did.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Rest.
I do hope that at some point, I'll support the motion too, but I do hope that in some future iteration of this that we make sure that the maybe the exact language that has to be, you know, and we do that a lot. This is what you have to say to a voter that Senator Sieben will, excuse me, will consider exactly what you have to say for a voter in terms of the options that are open to them when they, you know, when there are three school board vacancies that a voter can be told they can vote for up to three. Right? No. That's, they can't vote for more. They certainly can vote for less. And I don't know why that's not clear now, but apparently somebody thought so. But I'll support the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Sieben renews the motion to delete Section 26. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment prevails. So,
Section
any
six.
Other, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah. What was the disposition of Section 6, my question on the prohibition of multiple candidacies?
Did you have an answer to that?
Senator Sieben?
Saying if council had a resolution or an answer to Senator Kiffmeyer's
council.
Question, that'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I have some suggested language that I'll read to see if that works for the committee. On line 3.25 of the bill, after the word election, insert, unless the candidate withdraws the initial affidavit pursuant to section 204B.12. And 204B.12, just for the committee's reference, I'm not including this as part of the amendment, provides the process for withdrawing, for how candidates withdraw and the time period and all of that. So we could include all of that by cross-reference.
Okay.
Council, could you please repeat that, unless the candidate withdraws?
The initial affidavit pursuant to section 204B.12.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Senator Sieben, did you
Mr. Chair,
amenable to making the motion?
Senator Kiffmeyer's concerns and
Senator Kiffmeyer. So Senator Kiffmeyer makes a motion to amend subdivision 4 as stated. Anybody want the amendment or the motion restated? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. And Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, did we take care of, did we act on Section 29?
No, we have not.
That was that issue of four precincts or one precinct, like we took out on the other bill. I would move to delete Section 29.
Okay. Senator Rest moves to delete Section 29. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Any other questions or motions or concerns? Seeing none, Senator Sieben renews her motion that Senate File 1374, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Rules and Administration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. The bill is passed.
Thank you, thanks. Mr. Chair and members, for your patience today as we juggle around, too. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator Sieben. Any other announcements or anything?
Yeah.
Seeing none, committee is adjourned.